The title for my sermonette today is called Lack and Limitation. A little caveat before I start. This is not a message about the prosperity gospel as some people preach it. Rather, it's a message about life, how we live it, and how we can make massive progress. Brethren, we are in a race for our lives. This race is singularly the most important thing that we have. We don't have any other chance except this one. Our race is now. Our race is singular in the sense that we are responsible for how we race. You know, we won't make it into the kingdom of God based on our spouse's efforts, our friend's efforts, or anyone's efforts. Our race is against ourselves, this world, and Satan. You'll see, we have enemies in unseen locations. They're setting traps, rigging the race with pitfalls, sometimes pulling us off course, and there are dangers. There are constant side paths that look like the real thing, but they turn out to not be the real thing. And there are times that we think that we're doing the right thing, we are on the right track, and then it turns out to not be the right one. And we know the Bible states that the road that we are on, the race that we are running, well, that road is narrow. There are few who find it. I want to touch on today that this notion of while we're here in this world, it's easy to get caught up and not see the greatness and all the power and the will of God. You know, it's easy to miss his blessings. It's easy to miss being grateful for all the small and wonderful things that happen to us. And when we start going down that path, the world grows darker and our hope dims. We all experience lack and limitation in our lives, even as Christians, and maybe even more so at times because of what we face. We can experience life in many different ways, but when we lack faith, brethren, we limit God. When we lack being fully engaged and on the track, we again limit God. You know, as we go through life, things are always changing. There's always ebbs and flows. And we have to learn how to use each for growth. It is said that limits, like fears, are often just an illusion. You know, the problem is that lack and limitation exist in our lives only when we make room for them in our minds. What we input, we output. So we have to be careful what we want out of this life. We get what we aim at. You know, we reorient our lives in every way possible to strive for and accomplish that for which we want. That's how goals and aspirations work. When we are looking elsewhere, other than keeping our main goal of our entrance into the kingdom of God, that's when we start to slip and slide. That's when we start to compromise. Not necessarily because we set out to. It's just a matter of focus. But when we focus our minds on God, and we allow his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, then we will find our minds becoming more and more balanced. In Luke chapter 9, and verse 23 to 27, Christ says this. That's Luke 9, 23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. For a long time, I wondered what the scripture meant. To lose one's life for Christ's sake. Sure, you could lose it physically. But the way I've come to interpret it is that we have to be learning on a daily basis how to be, how to maintain, how to grow as Christians. Again, it comes down to input, output. It takes an all-out want to change something in our lives. Do we not find this to be true? You know, it sounds cliche, right? But think about it in your own lives. It takes laying aside our own thoughts, our own fears, and all the things that hold us back. There is a lot of things that can hold us back. A lot can cause us not to push forward. But brethren, those are all just lies. And Satan is the master of spinning them. They get woven into our thoughts and then into our actions. And the only way to combat this is to realize who we are. To start deciding we don't want this anymore, and to start living in a way that is completely opposite. And we have to start facing those fears. We have to pray to God for help to overcome and repent from the things that have been holding us back. We have to see the hope that we have, the hope of our calling. And we have to start linking everything back to this. But it takes inward work. Being willing to shine the light in dark corners, seeing what's inside of us. And then using the spirit that we receive from God to clear out the fear and the self-doubt and all the negativity. It takes massive work to clear out our self-limitations and our lack. Whether it's a lack of faith, or confidence, or strength, or self-belief, or any other emotion that doesn't serve. Brethren, God would not have called us if he wasn't sure that we could make it. If he wasn't sure that we had it within ourselves to make it. He wouldn't have done so. We have to realize that God expects us to be getting incrementally better, step by step. And this compounds over time. It's just like interest. Everything we do compounds. Whether we live our lives in lack and limitation, in how we decide to live, in what we decide to avoid fixing, in what we are afraid and scared of, then we will start to live from a standpoint where we cannot be used by God. In fact, worse than that, we incrementally start compounding negative interest. You know, we can all look in the mirror and know deep down who and where we are. But brethren, do we know where we can go? Do we know the power that we have? In Mark 6, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching." And the parallel scripture in Matthew 13, verse 53 to 58 says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not with honor except in his own country and in his own house." Verse 58, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." As people, we can observe the mighty works of God, and yet we can fail to really understand and fully appreciate the mightiness of God. If you haven't read Michael Link's editorial yet, do so. It's on power like no other. You know, we limit God's involvement in our lives because of our own fears and doubts. You know, these people at Christ's time rejected him. They heard his words, which were powerful, and they became offended. They would rather stick to their own dogma. So often, people limit themselves because they'd rather stay stuck in the situation they find themselves in rather than doing the painful, hard, scary work of looking inward and fixing the problems that lie within. The greatest moment, though, is that when we realize that there is help, that there is more than lack and limitations. In fact, there is so much more that gives us encouragement and hope and strength. So I just had a couple scriptures that I'll quickly read for you. Matthew 7:78 says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him it knocks, it will be opened." Asking isn't a whim or a wish. We have to be serious about what we are asking about, what it is we want. When we ask with purpose and with a goal in mind, when it's in line with God and his ways, then we will receive an answer, even if the answer is no. When we ask, we have to have faith that God is there and listening to us. Matthew 21:22 says, "Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Jeremiah 29:13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart." Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." 1 John 3:22, "Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." And the last one, 1 John 5:14. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So what is it that we want, brethren? What is it we want to accomplish in this life? There's so much potential in each of us. And that's why God has called us, because of our potential that he has placed in each of us. When we realize this and we believe it and start to put it to the test, our growth and our ability to shine in this world as bright lights for God's way will become insurmountable. We are told that we are to be those lights. Ask, brethren. Ask and see what happens. Ask in faith. Ask repeatedly. The Bible is full of stories about those who asked repeatedly. And those are the ones who we see received an answer, one way or the other. But don't be afraid to ask.